Hi and welcome back. I hope you're all doing okay out there during this very challenging time. We are joined today by Eileen Borromeo. She is an experienced brand strategist. She's a creative entrepreneur and she's also the head of marketing for Payoneer Southeast Asia. Today, I'm lucky to have Eileen on the show as we discuss something very topical, which is managing the human factor, how to motivate and upskill remote teams and staff during a downturn. This, I think, is so relevant right now because every business has almost had to evolve overnight into a work from home establishment. Many businesses who never thought they would go that route are now facing motivating and aligning their teams remotely over digital tools, and also at the same time still trying to rebuild, rescue, or slash costs on their business. So it's a really challenging time for everyone in the business. So we're talking with Eileen today about how we manage that human factor. If you want any of the show notes for this, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff, and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients, or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA or go to our website and we will have links there. Hi and welcome back, everybody. Today we are joined by Eileen Borromeo. She is the head of marketing for Payoneer Southeast Asia and not only working with Payoneer at the moment, but she has a lot of other interests and involvement in both the entrepreneurial and marketing community of Manila and the Philippines. And you also have a lot of marketing expertise that I want to hear from you initially. But today we are going to talk about managing the human factor in business generally, but also during the time of coronavirus and this new thing that a lot of people are faced with, which is working from home. So, Eileen, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today? I assume you're working from home.
Hi, Derek. Yes, I'm working from home. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to have a catch-up with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Eileen, I suppose initially, do you want to just, for those that aren't familiar with you and your work, do you want to just give a background of your career to date?
Okay, so I'm as you've mentioned, I'm currently head of marketing for Southeast Asia and Pakistan for Payoneer. It's a global payments platform that allows, businesses anywhere in the world to pay and get paid. Prior to this role, I was strategy director at McCann Worldgroup Philippines. It's a marketing and communications agency. I've probably spent most of my career working on that side of the business. And I'm also CMO and co-founder of a tech and media startup called Podcast Network Asia. So a few disclaimers, I'm not a human resources expert. However, I've been managing people for the past decade and a half. And these are, teams of varying experience backgrounds and geographies. I've also been a mentor and coach to many young professionals who have sought help not just on career, but also on their life directions. So I hope that what I'll share today would be of value to your podcast listeners.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited to get into it. And I think, as you say, we're not HR experts, but human resource management touches everyone and every business. So it's critical for everyone to you know, we can't just leave these things to the HR department because it touches every aspect of workplace harmony and efficiency, doesn't it? So what I first want to, you know, we can't start any podcast, I think, without first mentioning the elephant in the room, which is coronavirus, however you want to call it. I think it's got about five names. But first of all, you know, the world is very different to where we were 2 months ago, maybe even 1 month ago for most people. Most businesses have been closed down. Most businesses have had to navigate, you know, things that they've never come across before. Most businesses have really had, you know, an immense drop in revenue. But also all businesses are now having to confront new norms in terms of working. There's work from home, there's remote working, things that a lot of businesses had maybe heard of previously, but they were just dismissive of and sort of saying, that's not for us, that doesn't work for us. So, you know, really interesting terrain that we're facing now for all businesses. And it's funny that businesses are almost forced to upskill their work from home, upskill the tools they're using, upskill the methodologies in what is, you know, such a challenging time in itself. And, you know, so people are facing so many conflicting challenges. So my heart goes out to everyone. But I suppose from your side, Eileen, everyone is touched by this. How is the coronavirus for you? How has it affected you know, your business and the way things are done?
I think fortunately for Payoneer, we're still doing fine, but we do see the challenges that you've mentioned for many of our customers. And I think one of the best ways we could currently support them is to stay in business, because we facilitate the transfer of funds around the world. And if there's a hiccup in, you know, what we do, then it's going to affect more and more people. I think, you know, one of the interesting things about COVID is that whilst there's many, you know, negative things that it has done, I think the slowdown is also a good time to pause and rethink everything from ground up. As businesses, we don't get that opportunity often to say, okay, we're going to take a step back and suddenly, you know, rethink what we're doing. You've mentioned that suddenly, you know, businesses are confronted to having to work from home and making sure that their staff are productive. So, you know, all of these things merit taking a second look.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned Payoneer and it enables global transfer of funds and cash and funding is the lifeblood of every business, you know, and I think that's really coming into focus now. But also with the coronavirus, it's putting, I think, into focus the fact that this is more than we thought, one world, it's one globe, everyone is connected, and this virus has no awareness or respect for borders or, you know, border control. So it'd be interesting. There's been a lot of impact in terms of global e-commerce, in terms of China being knocked out and things like that. So it will be interesting when we come out of this to see how global commerce will change and e-commerce generally. And, you know, as Payoneer assists, it's critical that there are the services in place to make this as seamless as possible. So it's certainly an interesting era we're in at the moment, isn't it?
Absolutely. For example, and just to add to this whole, you know, flux in e-commerce, there's currently a huge dependency on China for supplies. And I think what the situation has forced us to do is to rethink, you know, other supply chains. And that's also opening up other businesses in other parts of the world, which I think is great. So suddenly you see, you know, manufacturing from places like Thailand or Vietnam, you know, suddenly, you know, providing opportunities to, you know, give other sources of supply.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone's looking for plan B and plan C at the moment, aren't they? Which I think, you know, chaos creates opportunity. And you know, so some interesting things will eventually come of this, I'm sure. From a, you know, tapping into your vast experience, From a marketing, branding, and sales point of view, within this COVID era and what will become a recession, what should businesses be doing during coronavirus in terms of their marketing, branding, and sales strategy, would you suggest?
Okay, before I end up talking about this the whole day, I think there are some basics that we need to be mindful of. So the first is, at the very core, businesses should be sensitive and human. We see a lot of opportunistic, entrepreneurs out there, pricing face masks out of, the market. And this is not what you should be doing. I think now is about looking at how we can help society get back on its feet, and that is what we should be doing as a business. So whether we do it from a corporate standpoint or as an individual, there are many ways to help. So for example, if you're a business and this is just diving into maybe the products and services that you do, you can help by removing pressures of your business on others. We saw this from mall owners and operators who have waived rent for their tenants. At the very least, making sure that our staff are still able to receive their salaries. We could mentor other businesses. These are, not really investments on our end, but it's really a matter of time that we're putting forth for people. Everyone's challenged. We're still, of course, needing to look at sales, but I think we need to temper messages on growth because it wouldn't be prudent, and it's not the right tone to push for. So from a marketing and branding point of view, we know that many countries around the world look up to companies more than their government for support. And I think that's an important responsibility that we as businesses hold. If you've been in the Philippines when Yolanda hit the southern part of the country, people turn to their telecommunications providers. They turn to, beverage companies to help them. And this is a massive responsibility, but also an opportunity to do some good.
It is. It's a very sensitive time that we're all in, isn't it? And I think we're all feeling our way through this. And it's a great point that you make. Any marketing and messaging needs to be very sensitive to this. And people are very quick to shut down any profiteering from these situations, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So I want to talk to you about managing people. And I think very commonly, especially I see this a lot in outsourcing, in the outsourcing industry, people and clients can often overlook the nuances of building and running a team, especially in the outsourcing sector, because it is all about people. And even business generally is all about people. Why, from your point of view, why is it so important to invest in people, invest in upskilling and motivation of a team?
So, without the people that we have, the business obviously won't run. I think that's the first practical reason why we need to make sure that people are still, on the job and making sure that they're as productive despite circumstances. So, I think one of the important things we need to take note of is with all the uncertainty we hear, we need to make people feel that their contributions, no matter how small, are valuable. And sometimes it's harder when you're working from home because you can't have that, physical engagement with people. So, just to share an anecdote on, the jobs that the people do. So my daughter, who is currently in preschool, she always shares the job that she gets assigned to do in class when I come home. So these jobs are really small, like, attendance checker or weather reporter. But, even at a young age, there's actually immense pride in having done something good for others. And I think at the end of the day, it was her, feeling that responsibility that was given to her that communicates that she can be trusted. And I think that would be the bedrock of, you know, how we treat our team and our staff at the end of the day. So one of the ways to engage our employees and staff would, you know, to be to make sure that they are able to do the tasks that they have, give them responsibilities, maybe assign a task force that will solve certain problems during this time. So maybe this is the best time to do it, given that there's a slowdown in workload for many industries.
Mm. And all of this is relevant in any time, but, you know, recently, obviously with coronavirus, we have had this sudden, not just a switch, but, you know, kind of a lurch towards work from home. Everyone is, you know, some people don't even have the laptops or computers they need. Some people might be struggling with connections. And maybe the tools, the software tools aren't in place for them to do the job they need. And people are maybe, as you say, you know, the nature of the work that they are doing has also changed because of coronavirus. How does a business help steer their teams when there's such time of turmoil?
I think, you know, this is where leadership obviously sets in. So people will always look to their leaders during uncertain times. I'll talk about, you know, the tech side or the practical side of doing so. But I think, you know, as leaders, we set the tone of how people will behave. And we need to recognize that, you know, that responsibility. So do we buckle down and get our hands dirty with everyone? Do we check in with how people are, not just with work, but with their families? And I think, you know, sometimes we forget that even though we don't mean to be, when we become disengaged, it tells people that they don't care and can massively affect morale and productivity. Now we can look at, so how do we then go about making sure that we're, you know, looking at the logistics part? There's one thing that I keep chatting with some entrepreneurs about this. In its Viber. So as long as you have some kind of messaging tool that people can use, I think communication will be the first to be secured. The work part of it, you know, the internet connection, you can find a way to, you know, get in touch with some telcos to at least provide some data connectivity, even during certain times of the day. And I think what's going to be important is to make sure that people know what they're meant to do despite the quarantine or, you know, despite the slowdown in the workload.
So we have been forced into this work from home. No one really has a choice at the moment. I think everyone is a little bit happy with the situation because they finally get their wish of not commuting. Not being stuck in traffic for hours, but there are pros and cons to work from home as well. I notice in the outsourcing industry, we've had, you know, and this is the single most significant industry in the Philippines, so it can't be ignored. But a lot of the clients are being moved into a work from home scenario, and then there's a possibility that those clients might not return back to the office facilities. They're certainly finding it cheaper. It's a cheaper alternative. But, you know, maybe is it representing the full picture? Is it more efficient? Is it better? And I think these subtle nuances can sometimes be lost when, especially when businesses are looking to save money and things. Where do you see some of the advantages, but also the disadvantages of work from home? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
So I personally feel that there are a lot of upsides to working from home, particularly because we live in the Philippines, and if you're in Metro Manila, the traffic takes up so much of your productive time. So one of the things I've observed personally is that, you know, the moment you wake up, now whether this is a positive or a negative, you know, your laptop's just there. And there's no traffic wait for you to, you know, suddenly get started on your job. So it's actually quite, it's a more packed workday. But we can't also dismiss the need for people to come together to brainstorm, discuss, and share ideas. There will always be that need to come together, which I feel couldn't be done as well when you're in a work from home setup. So it really depends on the kind of industry that you're in. If you're in a business that requires more people problem solving together and requires that face-to-face, that maybe a Zoom or a Skype might not be able to do as effectively, then that's one of the factors you need to take into consideration. There's also, you know, individual tasks that might be done better in isolation because you will not have the distraction that you might have from a colleague who suddenly wants to go out for coffee, or, you know, taking all those little chit chats in between, which are of course important to, you know, bonding, but it takes away a bit of the productivity. So it really has to be a balance based on what the business requires. Maybe there are some functions that could be best for a work from home setup. Maybe it could be, you know, work from home a few days, and some days it's all in the office. So it really depends on what your business requires.
It's worth reflecting, I think, that we're in such a lucky time in that we have all of these tools naturally available to us. I mean, I remember the early days of Citrix and Share My Screen and things like this, and they were quite left of field sort of crazy tools for extremists. And now I think, you know, as you mentioned, Viber, Zoom, you know, we're talking on a different one now. Everyone's emailing, everyone's in chat forums. And this is just now a natural sort of ecosystem for everyone, whether it's their professional lives or personal lives or community groups. So it makes this migration to a work from home so much easier. I could only imagine if coronavirus happened 20 years ago and we weren't actually online, I could only imagine that the economy would just completely falter. We're actually in quite a lucky position now that we can just pick up these tools. Maybe it's not, you know, maybe we're not all familiar with them, but very quickly everyone can get up to speed and then almost be as productive. It's quite an incredible time we're in.
It is actually. So one of the jokes that I've seen circulating around on social media was, you know, who was really responsible for the digitization of a company? And it wasn't the CEO or the CTO, it was actually COVID-19. You know, it's interesting because I was just listening to another podcast on, I think, Freakonomics about how the Spanish influenza changed people's behavior, or was that on Hidden Brain? So one of those two. And people started adapting, you know, behaviors that did not exist at that time. So in the early 1900s, people actually shared a cup in the water station. So that's unthinkable now. We You know, the thought of sharing the same cup for the entire office is unthinkable. Now everything's all about hand washing. We're now looking at, as you've mentioned, tools that could help us work from home better. So, you know, we will adapt behaviors that we didn't think we had to. And there are obviously upsides, I hope, that we're seeing from these new behaviors.
And I think, you know, obviously I'm a huge proponent of outsourcing, which is a globalized connectivity. And I think that outsourcing is well positioned to do well from the coronavirus because it's already, you know, work from home enabled. It is about using all of these tools. And I think we're going to see a step change in how people interact at work and how they define employment, you know, what employment is, what it means to be employed, and do you necessarily have to be limited just to employing people in your local vicinity? So I think, you know, there is a huge opportunity for outsourcing, which is a win-win for both the Philippines and the client companies in the West. But certainly I think it can provide an opportunity for the Philippines to continue that that growth and development into the professional services.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that I also used to do was to provide outsourced brand consultancy for a firm in the US. And when I was talking to the founder of that company, he was saying that, you know, it's amazing to be living at such a time where you can be hiring anyone from any part of the world based on their skill set. And I think, as you've mentioned, you know, outsourcing does that. It gives you an opportunity to look at, you know, what your business needs and who will be the best suited people for these tasks, regardless of where they are in the world.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? And I use the example, like New York is probably one of the best job markets in the world, but there's only, whatever there is, 7, 8, 9 million people there. And there's 8 billion people on the planet, you know? There's so many resources, so many people, so many well-qualified, hardworking people out there in the world. And it just seems so, you know, limiting to confine your search to the local vicinity. So certainly exciting, and maybe this work from home, maybe the coronavirus might help people look further afield. So let's see. Talking about staying on international business, now managing international teams, whether you are an international business with branches across the world, or you just have an international team, which is becoming increasingly common now. What are some of the complexities you see with managing different people in different locations, but also the cultural implications of that?
So what I've always told people when, you know, handling teams is that the people part of the job is always the hardest. I think one of the, you know, basic things that you need to overcome is looking at both cultural and language challenges. It is up to us who are managing people from different places to be more sensitive and to be more mindful of, you know, customs, ways of speaking, ways of working. These need to be established up front so there are no ill feelings just because someone was more straightforward than others. I think the time zone difference will always be a factor, but I think that's one of the more easier things to manage. If you're managing big teams, it will always be about finding time to speak with each and every person and to make sure that you're still able to influence, you know, the way they do their work, the way they feel valued as a person in your company. So, you know, it's not easy, but I think being more sensitive and being more attuned to your staff is one of the ways to go around it.
So you have your ear to the ground, you know, in terms of e-commerce and certainly a lot of the online world, and it's very much a global, the online world is, I think, an early adopter of technology, of globalization, of outsourcing, of e-commerce, of international sourcing, and you've got your ear to the ground of it. Do you see with this coronavirus, people are having to change quickly? Do you see a lot of quick adaption? Do you see a lot of nimbleness in the industry, or are people kind of just waiting and seeing at this stage?
So it is a mix of both. There are some who are able to pivot. Maybe if you're a seller, it's about looking at another marketplace for you to sell your goods in. If you're a service provider or a freelancer, sometimes it's much harder because you're looking at, pretty much the same pool as everyone else is. But a lot of people are trying to still comprehend the challenges and the complexity and the uncertainty of it all. Those who are better equipped, obviously, they're trying to find plan B, plan C, and attending as many webinars as they can to learn more and to network. I think this is where, for many businesses, you need to suddenly think like a startup and look at how nimble and how fast you can adapt to the changes. So we see a mix of both. So there are those who are adapting, quite well, and there are those who are still quite uncertain where to take their business next.
And in terms of, the tools that people will need when this comes out, do you see things changing and evolving? What is Payoneer doing? What does, is Payoneer changing, or is it just really there for people when the economy starts rebuilding and cranking again?
So we're trying to stay business as usual and to be the same in terms of providing the same reliable service that people would expect during a downturn. We do have some plans that we've had to park to also assess, if these will be needed in the future or will things change. So we're also doing the same things on our end. As I've mentioned earlier, I think, the slowdown is a good time to pause and rethink everything and, just bringing it back to the conversation on upskilling. I think, it's important to upskill people now to help us reach the new normal faster. So even on our end, we are looking at the current skill set of our marketing team, making sure that we're equipped to be more digital, given that a lot of the activities we used to do also meant doing offline. We had a lot of events and forums, so you were also part of that, Derek, so you know what I'm talking about, right? But now everything's shifting online, and I'm sure that at a certain point people will start experiencing webinar fatigue, and because everyone's doing the same thing, so we need to also rethink how we do our marketing strategies, and that's where we are. So keeping the business as stable and as reliable as we can for the customers who are expecting it to be as such, and making sure that our people are evolving their skills as well to meet the demands of this new normal.
It's an exceptional time we're in, isn't it? I mean, I remember when this started, when it occurred to me that this is a big thing, is when the Tokyo Marathon was cancelled, and then also the Japan Olympics is cancelled, and then you stop and you go, wow, this really is a big thing. And there are industries like the travel industry, of course, but also the events and conferences sector, they're just decimated. And I know that the Payoneer is very proactive in community events, in genuinely supporting the grassroots communities of e-commerce and virtual assistants and things like that. And those things are now they're not around so much. And I feel for these businesses where we've we've all got to go out and we've got to still be heard. And it's online, it's in the digital space, but then there's so much noise, isn't there? There's so many people, as you say, there's kind of 10 webinars a day being hosted on any subject you want now. So it's so difficult to stand out and be heard and get your message across, because I think even if your message is absolute gold, people are just, there's fatigue and, you know, there's so much competing noise out there. But no doubt Payoneer is evolving with that. And, you know, depending on how long this corona thing goes on for, but I'm sure you will still be there continuing to support the e-commerce and other communities.
Yes. You know, it is challenging, but we are up to the challenge, as cliche as that may sound. I think, you know, the opportunity that we see is what also fuels us. We do see that, you know, with all the webinars that are happening on a daily basis, and we have added to that clutter, but we are very purposeful in the sense that we try to look at our audience still, and we listen to our customers to see what are their needs and how we can actually bring in experts to provide in that gap. So doing, you know, webinars for the sake of just doing webinars will not be a good use of anyone's time. And I think it has to go back to what your brand purpose or your company purpose is about. So if we're all about empowering businesses to go beyond cross-border, we need to understand what the gaps are being presented as a result of the virus outbreak. So if we see that there are challenges on sourcing, we try to find experts who can provide insights on where else to source. If we hear from our customers that their, you know, Facebook ad strategies have suddenly become useless and they don't know what to do, we try to bring in people from digital marketing companies or even ex-Facebook people to provide information to our customers. So we're being very purposeful with the kinds of webinars that we host and not just doing engagement for the sake of engagement. I think it really has to go back to what you're bringing to the table and what your, you know, brand promise is at the end of the day.
I can only recommend that people do check out your webinars, your communities, the education that you provide, because it really is genuine education and support for the community and is of world-class standard. So I do recommend that people check those out, especially when they're sitting at home and have maybe less to do than normal. But Eileen, thank you so much for your time. If people do want to know more about you or Payoneer, about either the educational aspects or, of course, the payment transfers, how can they do that?
So for Payoneer, we have our website. So that's payoneer.com. All our services are listed there. If you're in the Philippines and in some of our local markets, we also have our Facebook communities. This is where we've probably put a lot of effort as of late, because we want to, you know, be that always on touch point for people. At least they know what we're doing and how they can engage with us. I'm on LinkedIn, so I'm fairly easy to find, and I will respond if you send me a message.
That was Eileen Borromeo of Payoneer. She is the head of marketing for Southeast Asia. If you want to get in touch with Eileen or see any of the show notes for this episode, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to email us, if you want to ask us anything, just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.